Budget and staff reductions took a toll on the Commerce Department's Office of Inspector General. That's according to an audit by the Government Accountability Office. It finds that for 3 years ending in fiscal 2013, the IG budget fell 13%, with staff cuts of nearly 20%. Beryl Davis is the Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the GAO. She joins me now with what else the IG missed. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Beryl, and so I want to clarify, first of all, that this was not a performance audit of Todd Zinsser in particular, controversial though he may have been as the IG at Commerce. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so tell us what you were commissioned to study in the first place.
Sure. Our objectives were to provide information on the Commerce OIG's budget, staffing, and accomplishments, and its effectiveness in providing audit coverage. As you were mentioning, you know, regarding the budget cuts, but we also had some responsibilities to look at the hotline complaints and addressing the employee concerns that were identified in the Office of Personnel Management's Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey.
And this is something Congress has been pretty interested in particular at IG because of complaints from whistleblowers and so forth. I think Eddie Bernice Johnson from Texas, for example, has been after the whole office for quite some time.
Yes.
Okay, so the budget fell 13%, staff cuts of 20%. That seems to be something that involves Congress in the first place. So tell us some of the details of what you found of the effect on Commerce OIG of those cuts.
Sure. You know, as you were mentioning, the budget cut for the three-year period from 2011 to 2013 was a reduction of 13%. It went from $47 million to $41 million. And there was a decline of full-time equivalent staff from 171 to 137, which is about 20%. They also had monetary accomplishments during that period of $543 million. But we can go into those in detail if you'd like.
Yeah, because, commerce is not one where you've got... They don't have gigantic benefits programs, for example, the way Health and Human Services does. So it seems like the opportunity for vast savings might not be as great at a place like Commerce as a place like Health and Human Services.
No, that's a very, very fair statement, and I think it's important to note that there are differences in missions and programs of the cabinet-level agencies that result in varied opportunities for the OIGs to actually provide monetary accomplishments. Very important point. But I can also share with you, if you'd like, some of the comparisons that we did with the other cabinet-level OIG offices.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. As we mentioned, the average percentage change in budgetary resources for the other cabinet level OIGs was 6%. And as we mentioned, you know, the 13% was the cut that the Commerce OIG saw. But it's important to note that actually was not the deepest cut. There were five other OIGs that had a decline equal to or greater than the Commerce OIG. And while there were the majority of the OIGs had budget cuts during this three-year period, there were a few that actually had increases. Regarding the staffing, it's a little bit different story here because the Commerce OIG had the largest decrease in authorized staff when compared with the other cabinet-level OIGs. The average percentage reduction in staff was 5%, and the Commerce OIG had the largest percentage change of minus 20%. The Commerce OIG also had the fewest number of authorized staff at 137 in 2013. And then regarding monetary accomplishments, if you have an interest there on that comparison, the average return on investment for the other cabinet-level OIGs was $22.64. And just to explain that, in case people are not aware of how that's calculated, it's actually monetary accomplishments as a percentage of budgeted dollars, and that's how you calculate the average return on investment. So you would compare that, the average for the other cabinet-level OIGs, with the Commerce OIG's reported average return on investments, which was $4.18. Again, there are differences in missions and programs.
Yeah, so getting back to let's start with the staff issue, and their staff dropped by, as you say, 20% versus some smaller than that on average for the rest of the IG offices. I mean, staff is pretty much most of the expenses of an inspector general, right? They don't let billion-dollar contracts. They don't have benefits or grants that they put out. It is almost entirely people. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
You know, I'd hate I'd be a little uncomfortable making a universal statement, but I think in many cases you're absolutely on point there, that a large portion of the work that comes out of a cabinet-level OIG's office is dedicated, or the expenditures are in the area of staffing.
And so if you have a reduction in staff, then by definition, you would have to have a reduction in the capacity of the office. Is that something that GAO would say, yeah, that's the case?
Well, we don't draw a direct link between the actual staffing levels and how that impacts the performance. We do have, indirectly though, because I think this is important, share the results of those audit processes that are conducted by the office. So if I can be specific, the OIG has an annual audit plan that puts together. It's risk-based. And when we looked at this, we noted that there were four departments and offices that had almost 88% of the departments, covered almost 88% of the department's total budgetary resources, which are over $20 billion. But what we noted was that there were eight bureaus and offices, remaining bureaus and offices, that obviously were a smaller portion of that 20 billion plus, but there were no performance audits conducted of the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of their specific programs during the 3-year period, and actually in some cases for extended periods prior to our review. So if I can be specific, minority business development in commerce has a total budgetary resources of only 28 million, but it's a very important program, and it's responsible for promoting growth of minority business enterprises and their participation in the global economy. When we went in there, we noted that at the time of our review, the last performance audit conducted in this area was in 2005. So that's a concern. There's a risk when certain audits are not conducted in the area of performance auditing, that there might be weaknesses in the effectiveness of the programs, and we're just not able to determine that without those audits. But even maybe more importantly, there's a risk of fraud, waste, or abuse, or mismanagement even, and that can increase when the programs are not audited.
So it sounds like because of falling budgets and fewer people, the concentration tended to be on, I'm guessing, NIST and Census, the two, I'm presuming those are the two biggest pieces of commerce. And as you say, some smaller things, which are nevertheless crucial, just didn't get the manpower attention they needed.
Well, that was our conclusion, and we actually did make a recommendation to the Commerce OIG to augment its risk-based planning process. We felt that they needed to consider a rotation of performance audit coverage among the smaller bureaus and offices to make sure that their programs are periodically reviewed.
We're speaking with Beryl Davis. She's Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the Government Accountability Office. And you also looked at the telephone service, the hotline, the four possible whistleblowers. And what did you find there?
Correct. Regarding the hotline operations, they were primarily complying with the guidance that had been promoted by SIGI. However, they had their own policies and procedures, and we found in a number of cases that they were not following their own policies and procedures. For example, concerning the timeliness, of following through on certain activities. So we did also make some recommendations regarding that particular issue.
And what were those recommendations? Adding more people there?
No. We just felt that they needed to have a process in place to actually provide reasonable assurance that the policies were being consistently followed. So our recommendation was really to enhance their existing internal control activities over the hotline operations through a process of monitoring and self-assessment evaluations.
And getting back to the bigger issue of the generally, mostly falling IG budgets across government, is that a result? Does it look like that's just simply they were taking what they were, their percentage, I guess you might say, under sequestration like every other function? Or is there something else going on that IG budgets are under pressure?
I really don't know if I could answer that question as to why.
Is it of concern to GAO, though, that those resources are dropping for IGs across government?
Well, we at GAO have a very high opinion of the importance of the accountability community in general. And the IGs at the federal level have a very important role also in that accountability process. So, you know, to the extent we understand Congress has to make decisions regarding allocation of resources, but we do feel that particularly as you can see, there's a return on investment when those dollars are expended, that we feel that it's, you know, it's important to the extent that it's appropriate, I should say, to allocate resources to those oversight responsibilities.
And are there any metrics that are useful to say to cabinet secretaries on dollars per OIG versus dollars in the savings that you pointed out, the $22.64 average, which again is an average, which sort of is meaningless if you unless you take it in the context of the agency's mission. But are there metrics that are useful to budget planners and leaders that could tell them when their IG spending is getting maybe a little low or maybe overspending?
That's a good question. I do not have an answer to that question.
Because you wouldn't spend $1 billion on it, but you wouldn't spend 50 cents on it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's absolutely a judgment call. But yes, it's correct. That's correct.
And what was the general reaction of Commerce to the recommendations coming from GAO in this case?
Has agreed with all of our recommendations, and they've actually started implementing some of them. So we're very optimistic that they are going to look to address these issues and hopefully institute strong procedures that can enhance their internal controls.
All right. Beryl Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.